This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 12th of September, 1963. The title of this lecture is Service Facsimiles. This tape is 87 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Sorry to keep you waiting. I had to turn down the static. This is the what? 12 September, AD 13, St. Hill Special Briefing Course. And you're into the horrors of hidden standards, GPMs, chronic PT problems, service facsimiles, non-observation by the PC, a postulate being where the PC ought to be. How's it feel to audit a postulate? I mean, you always thought you had a PC in the chair and you haven't, you got a postulate. A postulate which is designed to make others wrong and themselves right. I think that's quite interesting when you get right down to think of it. We've had all these things in the past. This is Scientology 3 I'm talking to you about, and as it flips over into Scientology 4. We've had all these things in the past, and the difficulties that the PC has in getting forward with his case are actually just those difficulties which I just enumerated. I'll go over them again for you seriously. PC has a hidden standard. Almost any PC that isn't making excellent progress, getting good TA action and so forth, has a hidden standard. What do we mean by a hidden standard? Well, he doesn't even know what he is measuring his progress by. But it's that which he measures his progress by. You say, did you make any gains in this session? And he consults this standard of some kind or another, and then he says yes or no, in accordance with whether or not this standard had shifted. Now, this is your lower level of case that does this. Not necessarily lower level, because you can get a case into restimulation, but so that I suppose he does have temporarily hidden standard. PC's got a headache, had a headache for a week, been processed for some little time, considerable length of time, and a headache has turned on. Well, now he's liable to measure his processing as to whether or not it turns off his headache. You see that all the time. Well, now expand that. Of course, you can take by gradients all kinds of aspects of things, and you can see that these tiny little things can graduate into very serious overwhelming proportions. That is to say, any insanity or any complete spin condition is simply an exaggeration, me plus ultra, to the exclusion of all other exaggerations of something that is quite normal in most anybody. You see, you eat. You see, you consider that normal. It isn't very normal, but you consider it normal. And that if somebody is eating is not used by you as an auditor to measure whether or not the individual is clear or not. You just don't pay very much attention to it. This is something you don't think about very much. But as the case gets a little bit worse off, well, you have to start paying attention to it, because this may become a very great exaggeration. And it can become an exaggeration, a not eat, or an eat too much, or something like this, you see. Now, several other facets of life drop out at this particular time, and if you took this same phobia at a lower level case, you could get somebody who did nothing but eat, didn't do anything else. And you say, this person's crazy. See? Supposing they just ate everything in sight. Pencils, razor blades, rose bushes, You say they're crazy. And supposing they refuse to eat anything of any kind whatsoever, similar conditions. See? If you want to understand what is an aberration, it is simply an exaggeration of the positive or negative of the usual. You can take anything a Thetan can do and exaggerate it in extremis, and it becomes an aberration. That's anything, don't you see? You'd say even exteriorization can become extremis. Okay. Somebody always flies out of his head. He is always out of his head. He cannot get near his body in any fashion or another. He worries about it all the time. He can't contact his environment via the body or contact the environment. Well, you say he's batty on the subject of exteriorization, don't you see? Well, what is this, then? It's simply an exaggeration of a condition which a Thetan ought to be able to do well. Well, everybody is a bit batty on this particular subject at this particular time because practically nobody exteriorizes easily. Or they're always exterior. There isn't any halfway measure on this particular line of exteriorization. That's because they are assisted to exteriorize by various means. Don't you see? I mean, implantation, other means to exteriorize. But this is an aberrated condition, but you see people around and they're not exteriorizing easily and you don't think this is odd. I mean, look at that. So that's an accepted neurosis. That neurosis is the common denominator of the society, or the normal. See, that normal. Well, just because everybody is doing it, man has an interesting way of measuring up what's right conduct. He has it measuring up of what's normal. One day you get into a society where everybody in the society is terrified of spiders. You get into this civilization. Everybody in this civilization is terrified of spiders. They're picking spiders off of themselves all the time, you see, and they sleep in their beds surrounded by spider traps, and they you see, just go on and on. Well, there's practically no girl in the room who isn't a little bit nervy on the subject of spiders, don't you see? You find a spider crawling across your nose, you boys would be upset too, you see. But this society does nothing whatsoever but fight spiders. Nothing known in its activity but that one. But this isn't crazy because everybody does it, you see. So according to those blokes in that society, they look at each other, and there's one guy there who isn't afraid of spiders, see? See, one guy there. So they say he's batty. He doesn't use spider bait around his plate while he eats, you see. Guy's crazy, see, obviously. So this shows you, of course, that a departure from the norm, I use an old cliche, a departure from the normal is no indication of aberration. It is actually no real concern of the auditor. Because you're bound sooner or later to find somebody who doesn't put spider bait around his plate while he eats, you see. This, by the way, what I'm saying here, occasionally causes auditors trouble, and they'll have trouble with some case. Case runs too easily. Well, when you found somebody that just clipped off engrams in chains, bonk, that's the end of that chain of engrams. Well, you have trouble with him, you see, because it's not a normal auditing response. I remember old Ray Thacker, she used to be worried about auditing me after lectures and so forth. He'd tell you about it today, I think. So, change too fast. It's upsetting. Finally got this thing taped. Didn't rhyme so good, but I thought it was rather amusing, you see. I run having this and zing, bang, cognitions, brrr, and that's the end of the long chain of this and that sort of thing. Well, that's a different auditing response from the normal, so you're not completely proof of making a mistake as an auditor So long as you accept this normal or this average, you see, as the index as to whether or not a person is getting better or how he should behave in processing, you see. Well, this gets booby-trapped, too, because you start processing somebody and he says he's out of his head and he's on the moon and he's here and he's there and he's taking care of the whole bank and that sort of thing. And you're processing this bloke and you may find out it's not true, you see. And this upsets you. So a few weeks later, you're processing somebody who's close to an OT and is doing it and it is true. Okay? Well, it's just whether or not the guy can do the process. That's your thing, or whether or not he gains, and whether or not he can get tonar motion. Now, there's a good index, see? PC get tonar motion, you know. PC stay in session. PC go on willing to talk to you as the auditor. See, these are your indexes, and those indexes are constant. They have nothing to do with the speed with which a process works or the slowness with which it works. Doesn't leave you then hung with this thing called departure from the normal. You don't have to then have a normal for the human race, God help us all, as an index as to whether or not somebody's making progress in processing. I dare say if you went through an insane asylum, almost any insane asylum in the world, you would find in there somebody who was super normal and who was not crazy. I dare say there's probably one per asylum. But if insanity or neurosis is measured by this one thing, whether the person is normal, why, then you run into all sorts of trouble in trying to adjudicate it. So what you'd stick with is your auditing tools. See? You find out whether or not this person gets good TA, see, on what you're running on them, and whether or not this person can do the process and can stay in session with the auditor, and if the expected gains and that sort of thing are made and the thing. And that's your index, you see. His behavior, his actual behavior in life, is not of any great worry to you. Now, I give you that as a word of warning, because as you move up the line with modern processes, you very often go through periods of change, particularly with service facsimile and so forth. You go through periods of change which may be very swift, and a case does some sort of a flick of some kind or another and goes from A to Z without bothering to stop at any other of the letters in the alphabet, or does it momentarily and hits a high and then does a slide back from the high or something like this. And if you were worrying all the time whether or not the PC had normal behavior, you've just added something into the whole problem of auditing, which you just haven't anything to do with, that's all. And I take it from me, it's of no value. No value at all. We don't care whether they're normal or abnormal or supernormal or something like that. You can define various states, and it's easier to draw up a scale of abilities in life and try to measure somebody up against that if you must study behavior, don't you see? Let's get a scale of abilities. Only let's take a whole row of abilities, you see, and let's find out how the person measures up on each one of these ability lines and so on. You might have some idea of his condition as a thetan, see? But that, again, would have nothing to do with normal. Okay? Nothing whatsoever. You try to measure up thetan to thetan, well, that's rough. Now, you get some case that doesn't behave well under usual conditions of auditing, and you are having trouble under usual conditions of auditing, don't you see? Well, you've got another problem staring you in the face here, and we don't care. That problem is not solved by saying the person is normal or abnormal. It is solved by the condition of re-stimulation of the case. That's how that is solved. And I've given you a whole chart here, which, by the way, has a great deal of value. And you could put any PC on this or monitor any auditing against this particular chart and start cutting down re-stimulation on the PC, and you can cut down environmental re-stimulation, you see. You can cut this and that down. And you can cut down session re-stimulation in numerous ways, you see. And it's just don't give him anything new to audit and that sort of thing. And numerous ways of doing this. Anyway, those various zones I gave you there the other day. And you'll pick up the necessary TA action at some stage or another. Now, that's completely independent, you see, of what process you are running on the PC. That doesn't come into it either. You could probably make almost any PC get tone arm action on almost any process, providing you reduce the restimulation in various fronts and sectors till the PC's attention could be centered on it and the restimulation was at minimum, and you could probably get on almost any PC tone arm action on almost any process. But on some, you'd have to be a lot more careful than others because the restimulation is very great. You see these as the factors with which you, an auditor, handle the case. Now, let's take a look then at the fact that there are some case peculiarities. And these case peculiarities all come under the heading of the material that I've just reviewed this minute. Nothing in these things violate that. Now, that a person has a hidden standard does not make him subnormal or supernormal or normal or anything else. It merely means he has a chronic restimulation. That merely means he has a chronic restimulation of some kind that is throwing onto the case an additional amount of charge. Now, that was given in your chart I gave you here. About what's in restimulation, see? And that comes under the heading of that. And this thing is in restimulation. It's chronically in restimulation. Now, in service facsimiles and other reasons and so forth, we get the reasons why it's in restimulation, but we're not examining why it is in restimulation at this particular time. We're examining wholly, totally, and only that it is in restimulation. Got that? Just reduce it to that simplicity. There's current stuff in restimulation. All right? If there's current stuff in restimulation, it includes, in some cases, this thing called a hidden standard. And you say to the PC, did you have any gains in this session? Do you have any gains in this session? And the PC looks sort of hollow-eyed for a moment, and he looks back into his skull with his eyeballs or something of the sort, and he says to you, he says after a minute or two, he says, no. Now, what brought him to say no? What brought him to say no? Well, the thing that really brings him to say no is no tone arm action. So you can predict whether or not he's going to say no. But this hidden standard is terribly interesting as a little mechanism all by itself, and it's a mechanism that you should look at as fascinating and its own gimmickry. It's in chronic restimulation. It's some engram, some facsimile, you know. It's in chronic restimulation. And if it was changed in the session, then he's had a gain. And if it wasn't changed in the session, then he didn't have a gain. You understand? Now, that's what makes the PC say whether he's had a gain or not gain. And, of course, there's the mechanical fact that if you get tone arm action, you must have been discharging some of that restimulation. So, of course, it will have changed this thing, and he will say he did have a gain. It's as elementary as this. But, nevertheless, his gain is measured by this thing called a hidden standard. So there he is. There he is with something which tells him whether or not he has had a change. He actually, most of the time, is not aware of this. Now, if that was the only thing that happened in the session with regard to a hidden standard, you would be in clover. Because you could cope with that because you just have tone arm action, see. But that isn't all that happens. Unfortunately, that isn't all that happens. There's something else going on during the session that you should be very interested in. And that is the fact that he's taking this thing, whatever it is, into every facsimile, into every process, and is trying to fit the process to this thing. He is always trying to find, hectically, scramblingly, and so forth, what it is in the incident that you were trying to run on him, in the process you were trying to run on him, in the picture he's just been presented with, which resolves this thing. You got that? In other words, he takes this little red wagon everywhere he goes, and he doesn't look at the picture. He says, did it wash up that little red wagon? Now, you're going to run some kind of an implant or something on this fellow, you see. And the stuff is spitting and spapping and burping at him and so forth. And he hadn't got really any attention on any of this stuff at all. He's trying to find out whether or not it's doing anything to the paint on this little red wagon, see? Which, in effect, is what? It gives a PC such an introversion in a session that he doesn't as-is anything and you don't get tone arm action. And time and the tone arm fit together. Now listen to this one because it's very important. He drags this thing into every other incident or thing to fit it up, and therefore is misdating something for the duration of the session and all sessions. He's always misdating something. That's worth knowing, isn't it? The fellow with the hidden standard, then, is always misdating. Because he's dragging the hidden standard. He's dragging the hidden standard into everything you're trying to audit. And, of course, that isn't the date of it. That's a fascinating little set of phenomena. He's dragging this red wagon, which may have the date of 8 trillion years ago, you see, and he's dragging it into yesterday, and he's dragging it into the breakfast table this morning, and so forth. And he's dragging it here, and he's dragging it there. If he tried to run birth on him, he would see whether or not it did anything to the little red wagon. You see, wouldn't do anything to him. So in essence, he's put 8 trillion years ago into birth. He's put it into breakfast. He's put it here. And he's given it a new date every time. It's the most effective stopper of TA action there can be. The hidden standard. Misdate, misdate, misdate. Now, there is a way of getting rid of it. A process which is called, was called 3T. Actually should be called now 4T. But could just as easily remain as 3T. And until we do a complete revision, you can write it as 3T. Routine 3T. Which simply asks the PC. Now, this is very germane to your service facsimile because this is very cute, very cute. You ask your PC for his chronic psychosomatic. What does he mainly complain about in auditing? Now, understand, you have asked him bluntly and directly, hey, bud, what's your hidden standard? But all he knows about it is that he experiences it. And that is always present. So you ask him what he is experiencing and what is always present. And he says, this is lumbosis, this is lumbosis, this is lumbosis. And you slicker him. You slicker him. And that's just called R3T because the total action of it is you date it. You date it, let him get the itza line in on it. And you'll find to a very marked degree, in most cases, that's the end of the hidden standard. What you have to know in order to understand this completely is the hidden standard always expresses itself physiologically. The hidden standard is never hidden physically. It's hidden from the PC, and it'd be hidden from the auditor if he never inquired into it. It's that thing by which the individual measures his gains in processing. But that's actually just about as hidden as an elephant in the middle of a ballroom. It'll be what he complains about in processing. And sometimes it's going to take you an hour or two of it saying just to find out what it is. And that, too, is very good auditing. What's this thing he's been trying to solve in processing? What's the physiological condition which most worries him in processing and which he has been trying to solve? And he will eventually lay it out on a silver platter. And he will say, it is my stomach pains. Now, he's got that all settled. Now, that, by the way, has already alleviated it to a marked degree and has given you some interesting tone arm action, maybe where you didn't have any before. R3T is one of these things you can use in extremis. You just put the it's a line in like mad on the guy's chronic somatic, you see? What are you trying to solve in processing? He gives it to you, and he gives it to you, and he gives it to you, and he gives it to you. Now, the only difficulty with this, if he starts giving you problems, you've sort of had it, because that problems isn't an itza. You understand? So your question probably ought to lean in the direction of what physical condition are you trying to solve? He'll eventually isolate these gut pains. Gradually, it's a line, it's a line, it's a line. It's good auditing, see? It's marvelous auditing. He gradually it's this thing out into view. If he doesn't tell you at once, sometimes he spoils the whole process. He says, oh, it's my lumbosis. Yeah, I mean, you've had it, see? Then you'd have to go into it on the basis, well, when has this troubled you in processing? Then you'd probably get some TA action out of it, sort of an anticlimax. If you could probably get some TA action out of the thing, even so. And that may be the only way you can handle it. You know, it's when has this troubled you this lifetime or something, you see? But you can take that with R3T and you say gut pains. Gut pains. Order of magnitude. Years ago, tens of years ago, hundreds of years ago. Keep going, man. Keep going. Don't stop just because you've hit a trillion. Some people get allergic to this thing called a trillion. I don't know why. They got lots of them. You have big problems in how to express trillions and big problems in how to this. I've even had some suggestions that we invent a new unit of time, some kind or another. I'm all in favor of that, but I'm afraid it would have had to been done some time ago for it to work on the Thetan. Thank God we aren't measuring it in numbers of heartbeats. Anyway, you just get that order of magnitude, see? And this is, by the way, good auditing to do this. You date very alertly. And sometimes you say, I've got to read here, apparently, that's in the order of magnitude of trillions of trillions of trillions of years ago. And the gut pains go bzz, bzz, boom. And that's all you hear about it, and that's the end of that process. That's the lengthiest process in Scientology in terms of numbers of years covered, but not in hours of auditing. One warning here, you try to nail this thing too closely and you get yourself in trouble and you find the PC sitting in the engram, and you're going to have to shift to R3R right there. He's so stuck. And if he was in a GPM, you'd have to shift to 3N. And if he was in his own GPM, you'd probably, oh well, 3M2. So, therefore, you can make too much of a good thing out of R3T. That can be too. So the dating, now get this, the dating is done with an OI on the PC as well as the meter. And that's what makes it a process which commonly will fail because it is simply overrun. You find out this thing is thousands of years ago. And he goes, loop, glump, tum. And you see, it's almost as good as the meter, see? You go. And you say, All right, I had a nice read on that. That was thousands of years ago. All right, now how do you feel?
Yes, I feel better.
And at that point, you haul in the itza line and go flank speed ahead into your next process. You hear this? Why? He's going to push himself in and things. I remember old time Dianetis has been around for Lord knows how long. He's down in Los Angeles now. And he was in 42 Aberdeen Road, and I was showing him what straight wire was. I was showing him, unfortunately, the difference between straight wire and engram running. Unfortunately. So I took his chronic somatic and his worry about this lifetime, and I straight wired it out of existence like that. I spotted the time, and somebody else had it, and it blew, and that was that. He's the happiest man you ever laid your eye on, you know. He was pleased, you know. He was shining. He was pleased. And then I said, all right, now we'll pick that up as an engram. Proceeded to do so and keyed it right straight back in. But it was actually a terrible cruelty to do that to the man, and I actually wouldn't have done it had I realized that he was setting so much store by it. So let that serve as a lesson. A mistake I haven't made again. What's the essence of this then? When the PC drops this one off, bail out. Too much of a good thing here. You can even make up some homely platitude, you know. Something about a little auditing goes a long way if a long auditing goes a little way, or something like that, don't you see? I know it confused me, too, but there's something about medicine, you see. If a little bit of medicine did a lot of good, why, a lot of medicine will do lots of good, and you can actually get caught in between this on this little process. So the process is not greatly advertised, terribly effective. It's been with us forever because it's dating the somatic, you see, and getting rid of it. But in this particular case, you're not dating the PC somatic. You're asking him what he's trying to resolve in processing. You get the difference? And that's the only reason it has any importance at all. Is because once you've dropped that off the PC, he then won't consult it to find out if he's made his gains, and he won't be dragging the thing into every facsimile or anything else you try to run on him. So he's going to make some progress, and he's going to make more TA action because he's not always misdating something. You got it? But a little of it goes a long, long way. Slippy, quick, fast. I dare say, when you first use it, about 80% of the time you will overrun it. When you first start using it. And then you will get very, very expert, and about 50% of the time you will overrun it. Okay. And you'll eventually, if you keep using it time to time, why, you'll suddenly find out that you're getting pretty slippy. You're getting pretty slippy. You see, if it disappeared on the itza line, you'd bail out. It isn't likely to, but if it did, you would. You'll find out that some horrendous body masses come off of the PC by reason of this operation. The only thing it's used for is this thing called hidden standard. You got that? Now, a hidden standard is not always present in every PC to a point where it ruins the auditing. But it is present in any PC who has a difficult or delicate tone arm. So on your delicate tone arm cases, you have another little weapon. And if you don't have a delicate tone arm case, this character is just running fine with the tone arm action and that sort of thing. It isn't always stop, you know, and isn't always this and isn't all that. And you find yourself going around worrying about somebody's tone arm. That is your immediate and direct answer. If session after session you've worried about somebody's tone arm action and you're doing everything reasonable in order to get the tone arm running and you have not made it and so forth, then you just remember this little point on the time track or this little point on the tape when the old man said, delicate tone arm, probability, hidden standard. Remedy, R3T. And remember he also said, a little of it goes a long way. You could get enthusiastic with this R3T. You could probably try to run a whole case with it. All right, let's see how you can run a whole case with it. All right, now, what are you trying to resolve in processing? What pains, agonies, illnesses, or sicknesses, or physical sensations are you trying to resolve in processing, and so forth? PC gives it to you. Order of magnitude. Date it to the second. You even have to do that sometimes, but you date this thing to the second. Find the PC stuck in the n-gram. Find out it is an n-gram. Shift to R3R. Get that out, and then find the n-gram is stuck in the middle of the GPM, so you shift to 3N, see? And you get that handled, you see, but then you find that this, in actual fact, is part of one of the PC's own GPMs, RI, so, of course, you have to shift to 3M, R3M2. All right, now you've shifted to R3M2, and you find out, actually, it's reaching up into PT, so you run a service FAC on it. Now, having run a service FAC on it, you accumulated quite a few ARC breaks during this auditing, so you... A little of this goes a long way. You finally get expert at hitting the silk. But you actually could take everything the PC was worried about, see, and do this whole thing. You could do R3T, even well done, on everything the PC was worried about in present time. Now we're being sensible, see. This isn't ridiculous. This is true, see. You say, what you worried about? You know, what are you being processed to resolve, and so forth? And he said, well, my gut pains. All right, that's fine. R3T, gut pains, order of magnitude. Where's the gut pain? Well, to hell with that. That's the end of that, see. All right. What else are you trying to resolve in processing? Well, my headaches, all right. R3T, headaches. That's the end of his headaches. What else are you trying to worry about in processing and so forth? What are you trying to resolve and so forth? And it says, husbands. All right, let's date husbands. And facts, see? All right, order of magnitude on husbands. You see? Your worries back there at trillions 35. That's it. Okay. No, it's a line. Trillions 35. Because, all right, anything else you're trying to resolve with processing and so forth? Well, I'm trying to resolve having a body. I'm trying to resolve having a body. I get in my way all the time. I have to wash them, and they dent, and they drip blood all over the place when you stick holes in them and so forth. They worry me, all right. Body, order of magnitude, body. Well, 208,000 years ago. Very good. All right, that's it. You know, there's an interesting thing there. Well, good. Thank you. That's when you want to get that TR2 in there, see? Good. All right. What do you know? Well, I'm certainly glad you found that. Very fine. All right, I'm glad you found that. Okay, now what else are you worried about, in actual fact, in processing? You see, you let his line go on the backtrack, he's going to have you wrapped around into every process you ever heard of, man. You're going to lose control of that session. When you finally finished up, you'd have a clear. That is a method of clearing. Got it? Needle go free. DA come down. So forth. Impossible as it seems, it is a method of prayer. That'd be every hidden standard he ever heard of. Anything he could dream up here. But don't let him pull any back from the back track. That return journey, no payload. Return empty. Okay. Nothing, no baggage. Otherwise, you'll start scraping that track up and bring it up to PT. The next thing you know, why you're doing, oh, my God. Now, the service facsimile has to be severely located on the time track. And we say this lifetime, but actually what you're doing is circumscribing the duration. This is your absolute limit of your service facsimile activity, R3SC, is the pair of RIs he's currently sitting in on his own GPM line. Now, that can be a pretty broad sphere, but if you limit it very severely to this lifetime, you could even work to key that out, don't you see? But if for some reason or other,
This becomes so complicated. And you can't get down to it. And somehow or another, it doesn't happen. And you just kind of... And you get to wondering why you ever came to the session in the first place, you see. Why, you've still got another string to your bow. You've got R3T. R3T clearing. You can still make a clear. He can't stop you from doing it. You see that? Now, this is with the PC, which you can't seem to find a service facsimile on, that runs over any period of time. You know, difficult, difficult. Now, I say you're going to get some difficult PCs. It's impossible to say otherwise, because the hidden standard in this particular case is the service facsimile. But it just happens to be, for some reason, best known to somebody else, completely undentable. There's one thing that will dent it, and that's to pick it up, wrap it in a small black bow, wind your arm up around your head, and pitch it with high velocity down the time track to a place where it belongs. And that has a degree of workability. Now, of course, this is all under the heading of destimulation. So, because it's under the heading of destimulation, you have to be very careful not to run anything. See, that's why it becomes absolutely ridiculous to start running things. Because you start running things on the whole track on a case that you're already trying to destimulate. Why are you trying to destimulate the case? You're trying to destimulate the case so that it doesn't have PT problems and so forth to kick your auditing session to pieces. So therefore, if you start a destimulation action, if you start an action of destimulation, what have you done if you suddenly start running something on the backtrack? And if the PC's service facsimile has in it to make you wrong as an auditor, that's the first thing the PC's going to do. He's going to try to re-stimulate more than he already got. Now, how do you keep the itza line in on a PC who wants to re-stimulate more? That's your problem. How do you keep from ARC breaking this PC? How do you keep from actually actively cutting the itza line? Well, the best way to do it, actually, and I will help you with this problem, is be awful damn careful with your what's-its. Use that what's-it line with great skill. Knock out of your auditing all social actions. That's the first thing you do. Avoid all violent attention shifts. Avoid all attention shifts that you possibly can, which are directed by a what's-it. In other words, don't direct the PC's attention in such a way as to ARC break the PC so it starts to get even with you by re-stimulating more, or some weird combination like this occur. Just avoid all that. See how what I mean? Be awful careful of those what's it. Don't say, how have you been today? You understand? That's a what's it. Gives him an opportunity to say, well, actually, I was sitting up in the lounge at the Bidewee Club, and it certainly occurred to me, you know, saw this figure in Roman armor. Gee, you've had it. Got the idea? It isn't a matter of withholding something unless you're obsessively social. Just don't use them. Now, the type of model session that is employed on a case that is very prone to re-stimulation, isn't getting much tone arm action anyhow, is your W-unit model session. That's your zero social. Oh, let him discuss anything he wants to after session. Discuss anything he wants to after session. But he's aware of the fact you're no longer auditing it. He actually won't plow it in. You get the idea. No, don't keep putting the brace on him and shutting him off and stepping all over his toes and that sort of thing. But in session, how did that go? You're walking along the edge of the precipice, don't you think? Any delicate TA case, any case that you're having trouble with, any case that you're having difficulties trying to stabilize them into a process, any case, you know, over-restimulation leads to self-invalidation. You should know that. Case is invalidating his own case, and he's chewing himself up all the time, and he doesn't know, and he this and that. Well, actually, the more you restimulate, the more he's going to self-invalidate, and the more he's going to invalidate Scientology and other dynamics. You understand? This is a symptom of over-restimulation. You can actually classify aberration into these two classes. There's the symptoms and reactions occasioned by over-restimulation. And then there's the particular significances caused by the service facsimile and other things, you see. The significances, the dramatizations the person goes through. That's one channel, and restimulation is another channel. Of course, restimulation gives you the degree of dramatization, too. If you raise the restimulation on a case, you can raise its dramatization. If you handle these problems in the guise and line of restimulation and monitor nicely with destimulation and handle the case very nicely like that, you can get the case up to a point of discharging a great deal of stuff. And you can get a case to discharge lots of charge. But if you go at it so knuckleheadedly that everything you say to the case leaves the case wide open to the restimulation of more actions, you see, on the track. Everything you do with the case and so forth leads to more restimulation. And then if your queasiness in handling the case also gets in your road and prevents you from really running a process with a PC's nerviness or over-restimulation, then the case is just going to get less and less and less and less and less controllable. Less and less and less controllable. You see why? Restimulation is catching up with you. So therefore, the destimulation of a case is an art. And it is a peculiarly positive sector in the field of auditing. And most of you are on this sort of thing right now, service facsimiles. Now, the service facsimile discharged decreases the restimulation that the case is subject to, even though it's just discharged right here in this lifetime, present time, a lot of action, so forth. Case is subject to less restimulation because he pulls in less present time problems in his environment, don't you see? Now, the present time problem, aspect of the present time problem, is another category of upset to you. Case with a tremendous present time problem does not make good processing gains. If a person's graph remained the same throughout a week of auditing, you can assume this case had present time problems. The way to handle present time problems is to handle that factor in the case which causes the case to have present time problems. What causes the case to have present time problems? There must be something in restimulation to the case which pulls in present time problems. I'll give you another method of listing for a service facsimile, which actually nails present time problems with magnitude. You realize that there are so many solutions in the zone or area where we are operating at this particular moment. There's so many solutions to the thing that it'd be very hard to give you a total coverage of all of these materials. And you're going to discover quite a few solutions in running somebody with an ITS line and handling service facsimiles and that sort of thing. You're going to discover a lot of these things. There are certain standard ones, and this could be classified as a standard one. What's a safe assumption about your environment? What would be a safe method of handling your problems here and now in life? Now, a question and a list of that particular kind is going to drop into your lap with a thud, the stable datum that the individual is holding at bay various sectors of his existence. So it comes in that wise a method of destimulating the environment. All you had to do was just list the list of the, with some such question as I just gave you, and you wind up at the other end with what he uses to handle his family. What he uses to handle his job. That may be another one, see? All right, now let's expand that process. And let's take the PC's whole environment pieces. Let's take this big sector we call the PC's environment. Let's take that whole sector and let's compartment. Let's find out in present time, let's find out where his life is in conflict or contact with what. Let's find out the whole lot, don't you see? Now, this is terrific Itzelein stuff. You're not saying this lifetime now. You're saying now. No opportunity to go re-stimulating something else, you see. It's now. And his idea of now probably go back to yesterday afternoon. Or it might go back for years, so somebody live in a farm community or something like that, and things are pretty calm. He may consider his present time, you see, much broader. You ask a London city dweller what his now consists of, and he will tell you about his sandwich at lunch. You see, that's about as far as his time goes. It's very hectic. But let's just take this guy's environment, just in a social sort of an auditing way, because you've got such a terrific limiter on it, you see, that you can be very relaxed with your auditing. You can ask him almost anything as long as you don't throw his attention on the backtrack. All of your questions have to do with right now, your present time, the life you are living at this particular moment. What have you been in contact with? The person will say, what period? Well, you know, now. Now, well, now I'm in contact with the session. This guy's too sane to ask such a question up. So you say to him, well, in the last 30 days, you know, what are you in contact with? That might not include his parents. They haven't had a letter for 30 days, something like that. But it's part of his environment. Let's just get that environment all torn up. See? Let's get him to tell us, you know, where each sector of this is. This is terrific Scientology one. Guy's got the isness of his environment. How many people have ever sat down and seen exactly what their life contacts consisted of here and now? You talk about orientation, man. This is orientation. Well, that's going to throw you with TA action, and that's going to loosen your needle. Just that. Little innocent questions from you. Well, where are they? Oh, and I know the Smiths. The Smiths. I know the Smiths pretty well. She's pretty nice looking, and he makes awfully good rum noggin punches or something. I know the Smiths. Well, he's just liable to go on saying, well, I know the Smiths, you know. I know the Smiths. Your tone arm action will die down after a while. Wake up. Well, what can you say? Well, it's like the question is using 2H, see? Well, where are they? Where are they? See? Now, there's your running the locational process on them, you know. Well, where are they?
Well, they're up at Eastbourne. See? They're up at Eastbourne. They live at... They moved. Let's see. They used to live at 13 Galloway Street, and they now live at 42 Yard Road. Yes, 42 Yard Road. I don't know quite where that is. I was up at Eastbourne the other day, and so forth and so on, yes.
Let's see, Yard Road, and so on. I think come up in the dock. No, it's that one under the hill. That's the one. Yeah, that's where they live. Yeah, I've seen the place before. I haven't seen their new house, but I know where that place is. Yeah, I got that. See that torn arm action? Go there, man. You watch that fly. You see where the Smiths? Apparently got nothing to do with the price of fish. So. But you got the Smiths not only categorized, but located, see? And he works for the Bideawee Biscuit Company, see? All right, that's fine. Of course, you can reduce all this to a rote procedure that takes all the life out of it very easily. Bideawee Biscuit Company, he's telling you very interestedly about the Bideawee Biscuit Company. They're located there, and he goes down there to work every morning, and so forth. And there's a porter there by the name of George, and George has always got his hand out for an apple or sandwich or something of the sort, and... He's always got some wisecracks and so forth, and there's a lot of people around there. They're pretty good people down at the Bidewee Biscuit Company. I'll let him get away with this down to the Bidewee Biscuit Company, you see, just so long. And, well, you want to know, where is this Bidewee Biscuit Company, you see? Well, he's run the tone arm action out of what it is, you see. Well, let's get some tone arm action. Let's bleed it down with where it is, don't you see? And man, he gets the Bidewee Biscuit Company parked, and he's all of a sudden liable to have trivial cognition. He all the time, because he goes in the underground, it's lost sight of the fact that it's actually 12 miles from where he lives. So his Bidewee Biscuit Company. And then he realizes they got a lot of branch offices around here and there, and he's been to several of these branch offices. And you can just see this Bidewee Biscuit Company, you know, start to expand, take place. You see the tone arm start moving on the thing. And you get a lot of nice tone arm action out of it and so forth. And he finally gets down to the personalities on the thing. And you'll notice it will be the things which he's having a gradient scale difficulty of confronting. And you'll build up this gradient, see? And you'll see his confront starts going up on his environment to the degree that you blow charge off of it. See? And his confront starts up on his environment. And you can notice this in his kind of answers if you're very clever about it. You'll notice that he just goes down to the Bidewee Biscuit Company, don't you see? And he sees George, you know? George, that's the Bidewee Biscuit Company, you know? That's about all he's got of the Bidewee Biscuit Company, even though he goes there every day, is George. And the only important fact about George is the fact that George has always got his hand out for an apple. See? Something of that particular sort, see? Now, however, he expands the fact that he actually works in a certain section of it, and he has certain associates there who are something or other, you see, and they work in a little bunch of offices, and then he all of a sudden tells you all about George's family and where George's lives. See? He'll revert to that and do a wider confront, see? And then he'd go up and then tells all this, and of course he finally can tell you who's managing director, and you consider his confront as adequate there at that moment. But you'll see how pinned down his tension line is in the environment. It doesn't take a terribly clever auditor to do this, but it takes one that doesn't mind a PC being gabby, and you just put the it's a line in. What's his present time consists of, and where is it, and who's in it, and where are they? Next thing you know, you got the guy permeating all over the place. Huh? This is a lot of auditing. This is a lot of audit in this terrific HGC approach. After that's happened to somebody in HGC, they know very well that the HGC has got their good interests at heart. Well, they have, you see. But they know that because a good Scientology one has been run here on the Carson's lifetime. Well, when he's all through with this, and he's got all of his environment laid out, and his wife's relations, and how likely it is at any moment they're liable to come to visit him, and when he's got everything all taped, every place under the sun, and you finally now decided that you've got his present time, because you've used this, you see, present time, a lot of times with him in the discussion, and you don't let him catch sight of that, otherwise he's going to tell you his war stories. False it's a line. False line. You don't want anything to do with that. So what your lineup here consists of is his present time. Got that all categorized, and then you throw in that process I just gave you. Now that you've got all sections of it, and you could actually lay out a plot of it and draw a map, you now know where his zones and sectors of problems, and you know which one he's most fascinated with because he gets gloomiest whenever he talks about it. You don't need knee meter to tell you that. Although if you kept talking about it very long, it's problem, 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 so your tone arm action would die down, you see. Oh, well, there's my parents. About that time, even the most imperceptive auditor would notice that there were problems in that vicinity. He wouldn't even have to look at his E-meter. But if he also looked at his E-meter, don't you see, he would see all of a sudden that it started to rise and it wasn't doing any blowing down. Got that? Well, that's a weird way to do an assessment, but that's a very accurate assessment. Demo problem dead, and he can confront. The rising tone arm is a no confront always. He can't confront this many problems, so he can't put any itza into the vicinity. Now, why can't he put an ITSA into the vicinity? Well, you say you can explain that very well. Sons feel odd sometimes about their parents, you see. So on. You can explain and explain and explain, you see, and you can figure it all out, and you can figure it all out, and you can worry yourself to death. But let me point something out to you. The longer you spend worrying it out, you see, at breakfast and that sort of thing, the longer you spend doing that, if you catch yourself doing too much of this, realize that you were not, at the time you were eating breakfast, putting an Itzeline in on the PC. And even though you come to a total conclusion with regard to the thing, you won't have moved his tone arm one bit. Can I point that out to you? See? You won't get any tone arm action on him at all. Now, in your idea, you should be getting tone arm action on him. That's a reasonable assumption. See? So, use this as your assessment line. Now, isn't that an interesting assessment? It's not an assessment by tick and click and reading lists, you see. That's the assessment of zone. And it's an assessment by, oh, yes. Yes. An assessment by rising tone. And you've located a zone where he has a service vac in operation. Right like that. See? Now we know. Now we know. Now, why do you get a rising tone arm? He obviously isn't confronting it. Now, it's no good for you to assume that there are lots of reasons why he can't confront it, and it blows up in his face every time he tries to confront it. You understand? That's nonsense for you to assume that. For the excellent reason, it's not true. You're going to find out he can't confront the Bidawi Biscuit Company because biscuits are no good. Stable datum. He never confronts the Bidawi Biscuit Company. He confronts and is a biscuits are no good. See? So, as long as he's got that problem totally solved in present time, he never has to look at the Bidawi Biscuit Company. So now he will continue to have present time problems with the Bidawi Biscuit Company. I'll give you the most elementary type of present time problem with the Bidawi Biscuit Company. If he can't confront the Bidawi Biscuit Company at all, he's going to make mistakes on the job, and it's going to make present time problems for him. Doesn't have to be anything esoteric about it. You understand? Because present time problems are in direct ratio to the no confront. The frequency of present time problems are the measure of no confront. And here's the recent datum stated at a terrific simplicity at the service facsimile level. Here's this recent datum, service facsimile. No confront is caused by a substitute confront. Now, that gives you a brand new look at life. You always assume, you see, that the reason that Thetan isn't confronting is because he can't confront. See? We don't care whether he can't confront, but that statement doesn't lead to a solution of the problem. That's all we need to know. See, so don't worry about whether he can't confront it or not. Yeah, colloquially we speak all the time. As Scientologists, we're always saying, well, you know, Joe, he's all in trouble, he just can't confront that. See, that's fine, that's perfectly true in its limited sense. But in actual fact, that doesn't lead to a resolution of that guy's case. Because it isn't factual. It isn't quite factual. The reason he's not confronting is caused by the substitute confront, which we call a service facsimile. It's something like he has set up a little radio tower in the middle of the Bidawi Biscuit Company on which is got I Hate Biscuits. See? And that thing confronts the whole Bidawi Biscuit Company for him. And say, help me, Pete, as long as he's got that thing, the Bidawi Biscuit Company is going to cave that guy in. and is going to knock down the case between sessions to a point where you're always having to handle every stimulation of this case and his environment. And if you're only auditing this case 2.5 hours a week, and the case is spending 40-some hours a week at the Bite a Wee Biscuit Company, in that 2.5 hours, you're not going to even come close to removing the gathered re-stimulation of the past week. You add up the number of hours which you've spent with the case on the subject of the Bite a Wee Biscuit Company, you'll find out that they will vastly exceed in efforts to handle his PT problems with the Bite a Wee Biscuit Companies the effort you would make to simply compartment his environment with great care and find the stable datum that he uses for the Bite a Wee Biscuit Company. Find that and run it as a service facsimile with R3SC. That'd be the smart thing to do. So the opening gun on a case, obviously, is if you've got the tools to do it, is to clean up his present time problem so he isn't going to be accumulating continuously this. Now, the present time problem, which generated in his environment, is a different thing than this other thing I was talking to you about called a hidden standard. That's a different thing. Now, it stems simply from a bigger zone, however, of re-stimulation. But it's being pulled into re-stimulation arduously and forcefully by the PC continuously for some reason best known to somebody else. And the reason it's in continuous re-stimulation is just all these things are bits and pieces of the RI the PC is in. And it's interesting that you can put that RI to bed and take the thing apart in this lifetime. That's what's fascinating, that you can do it at all. But this thing, Bite a Wee Biscuit Company, he does this all the time. It's one of the best things that Thetan does. He gets tired of walking down the hall, so he puts a postulate in the hall, "I hate biscuits," and that's the end of the Bite a Wee Biscuit Company on his confront. But the damn fool continues to stay on at the Bite a Wee Biscuit Company. You can put right conduct down is don't remain places that you don't want to keep confronting. Okay, you can put that down as a little lesson in life, okay, completely aside from processing. Don't stay in places you don't want to keep on confronting. See? Because your don't go on confronting will then lead you to stick up a stable datum of some kind or another to do your confronting for you in that vicinity. And the next thing you know, this is going to be a gorgeous piece of mass, and it's going to be giving you more present time problems than you can ordinarily count. And your life is going to become very re-stimulative indeed. That's a little social lesson I give you there out of Scientology 5. Anyhow, how to get along in this universe, if possible. Now, do you see, in essence, the compartmentation of the environment and the selection of these little odd bits and pieces, you see, that he's using a stable data in his environment, and the knocking these things out, you see, with your R3SC processes and so on, you will find a very easy activity. That was what R3SC was originally designed against and for. It, however, goes a little bit deeper in that it can take apart a service facsimile. When R3SC is running very, very hard and very arduously, and your PC is being knocked all over the place by all of this sort of thing, recognize what you've collided with. You have collided with the RI, which is the current RI, in the forming GPM of this particular lifetime. It's very difficult not to collide with it. Well, it also surrenders to the techniques of R3SC, but makes a very much more arduous run of it. You see? So you would say there's two versions of R3SC. Okay? But in view of the fact that they are both handled in the same way, we classify R3SC in terms of what assessment was done in order to find it. And we number the assessments. Regardless of what stable datum you find, you are going to handle it by the steps of R3SC. You could enter the thing at almost any of these levels. You can also enter to the fourth level, solutions. When have you used it for a solution, see? But you've got this pattern by which you address a stable datum, R3SC.
Now, how you arrived at that stable datum would be the assessment you did for R3SC, and there are several of these numbered assessments. Now, I've just given you a very simple one. A good Scientology 1 done by a Class 2 type auditor, but it's Scientology 1, orientation and isness, you see. He just does this with the Ypsilon in and everything running along gorgeously. And he gets his environment all oriented on the PC, and he gets this thing all taped, and he locates the most prevalent source of PTPs on his PC by an assessment of mostly, an assessment also of the rising TA, but that is less observable than the PC's attitude about it. He's been talking about, you see, well, actually, I'm in contact most of the time with airline companies. I go down to airline companies and deliver things and that sort of thing. And talk to a lot of people. I've talked to a lot of passengers and so forth, and talked to hostesses. A lot of hostesses talk to down there, too, you see. Once in a while, I get to talk to pilots. And I get out to the airport quite often and go over there. There's a girl at the magazine stand I like to talk to. She's got lots of fun and so forth. And any of the toys get worn out, why, she gives them to me for my kids and so forth. We have a pretty good time out at the airport, and I do that and so forth. Well, the real knucklehead of an auditor comes in after that dissertation and says, now, what stable datum do you have for the airport? He isn't going to have any. He'll finally say, the dispatcher's tower. See, he'll give you something in the airport. You know, the girl's magazine stand. She's a good stable datum for the airport. She always tells me what's going on. In other words, you won't get one. See, you have to be perceptive just to that degree. And now you're going along and you say, all right, now, all right, we got all that taped and so forth. Well, how about the socialist club that you belong to? You mentioned a moment ago. What about that? Well, the auditor, after a while, should wake up and realize that what isn't being called on here is another what's it. What's being called for here is a safe assumption for the socialist club. He must have landed right in the middle of it because he obviously has a non-observation. The easiest way to look at it is that PC hasn't got anything to say about it. He isn't observing it. Obviously, then, it's being observed for him. Well, who's observing it for him? What's observing it for him? Oh, that being, person, idea, thing, television, set. That's a service fact for that zone or area. What do you do with it once you've assessed it out and so forth? Why, you've got it lying there and you, voila. Just run your R3SC steps on it. Tom, how would it make people right and you wrong and the person said it wouldn't? Well, how would it dominate somebody? Oh, well, that's a different thing. That's the most dominative stable datum that you possibly could have. That's the most dominative that you could have. That is. Yep. You keep sitting there waiting for him to answer the question. Well, hell, he's answered and he's blown the level, too. You've got to come back in there and say, all right, now, how's it get you to escape domination? Help you to escape domination anyway? Oh, perfect solution. That's the end of that level, see? All right, how's survival with regard to this thing? He's realizing things all the way along the line. It doesn't matter, you see, whether you flatten any of these processes or not at the first run through. When you finally check them over, just don't leave one of them hanging out unanswered. Do you understand? It doesn't matter how you chop these things up. See? Don't be neat, because it's not neat. See? At the end of the thing, get neat. And you make sure you've got them all now. It's all straightened out. That sort of thing. See? Now be neat. But he's
What do you mean? What do you mean domination? Domination? How would it dominate somebody? Dominate somebody? Dominate somebody? How would it dominate? I don't know how to dominate anybody. I have any idea at all how to dominate anybody? You know, to dominate anybody? Any idea? Well, of course, the auditor's a real knucklehead if he says. Well, yes. Well, the question was, I'll repeat the auditing question for you. How would it dominate somebody? Well, that's what I'm trying to say. Dominate somebody. It doesn't dominate somebody and so on. You say, all right, okay, take his answer. It wouldn't dominate anybody. All right, that's all right. How would it assist your survival? Oh, well, that's a different thing. Come to think about it, it just is. It just is survival. It is survival. It just is. It's just life to me, you know? I never really looked at that before, but it is just, it's life. That's what it is. It is. It's just life. The auditor says at that time, all right, thank you. Now, how would it assist your survival is being a complete knucklehead. The guy has answered the question. He's not answered the question. He's answered the whole universe of questions with regard to it. He's given you the perfect answer, which it is. That is the most perfect answer there is about anything. Thing you got to do is keep your tonar moving. You do that sort of thing, and you do it real slippily, and only ask the PC what he can answer, and only take it, and so forth. Don't start getting hard or tough on the PC till you finish it up, see? Now, let's go over these things. Ah, that one ticked. That one ticked. That one ticked right there. All right, now, how would it make people wrong? Well, I meant to tell you, but in actual fact, I used to use this quite a bit on all of my girls. I've been reluctant to mention it, but there it is. He clears this thing up, and of course you're away. In other words, here's got a variety of processes here that are all running more or less at once, and the reason why you have a variety of processes all running at once is you're running a variety of confusion. Though it won't be very orderly. It won't get orderly till toward the end. Most of the confusion is discharged. You see, that service facsimile held in abeyance, all the confusion that was there residual. It's that confusion running off which gives you the tonearm action. Your tonearm action doesn't come from stable data flying off. It comes from enunciating and as-ising stable data, which then permit confusions to fly off, which have been held in abeyance by those stable data. So if your confusion flies off, you're going to get charge releasing, because charge is, in essence, a confusion. That's all there is to that. See? It's elementary. You're going to untangle a ball of string, you're going to have string. If you don't untangle a ball of string, you're not going to have string. I mean, that's all there is to that. You untangle a ball of confusion, you're going to have tonearm motion. And if you're not going to untangle a ball of confusion, you're not going to have tonearm motion. That's it. There's two reasons why you don't get tonearm motion then. You're not untangling the confusion, or there isn't any confusion there. That's the only two reasons. So you enter into this problem at this various levels, and you find out there's a beautiful assessment that gives you service facsimiles like mad. Now, how you run the service facsimile after you've gotten it, I've just covered. But it's always the same. You always handle a service facsimile in this particular line. You'll get very slippy at it after a while. It's slippy auditing. But the number of ways that you can arrive at what is the PC service facsimile are practically uncountable. Now, the very best method I know of at this particular time is the method I have just given you, not the method of picking up the RI from a PC's goal. That's liable to re-stimulate the whole GPM, particularly in very inexpert hands that couldn't rescue it and list it out anyhow if it did happen, see. But this other one is a doll. This other one is a doll. I can see you now supervising auditing someplace or another. You hand out this assessment sheet, you see, that the auditor's supposed to fill in. And you hand him this assessment sheet to see who are your parents and why not, and all kinds of things, and they all go down the line. And the thing's got about three pages, and you've got this assessment sheet, and you say, now, you're running R3SC. Make sure to keep the IPSA line in very, very well while you're doing this assessment sheet. And you give them this four-page sheet. And it takes care of his job, his profession, and where it's located, and all that sort of thing.
The auditor bounces up 45 minutes later and hands you the sheet, all complete. We obviously have somebody there who had to get something done as an auditor. He just blew the intensive. That's all. And I'm sure this is going to happen to you. Every one of you that's supervising any auditing at all, this is going to happen to you. You just blew the intensive. Now what do you do? Now what do you do? Where do you go from here? I mean, that's it. You obviously have to run some other process. No, you can go off onto parts of existence and that sort of thing, but in actual fact, the assessment sheet was never filled in, don't you see? He just said,
who's your father, who's your mother, mother's name, and your brothers, sisters? Got any brothers and sisters? 33 brothers, 4 sisters, 8 cousins. All right, that's fine. How old were you last birthday? 47. All right, thank you very much. So forth, and where do you live? What's your address? What's your address? All right, 933 North Elma. All right, Cincinnati. Very good. And what company are you with? Oh, the Byway Biscuit Company. Very good. All right, thank you very much. What's their address? Where are they located? What's their address? Oh, 29 Front Street. Thank you very much. Now, what's missing here? Well, the only thing that's missing is the total assessment. He just missed the whole purpose of what he's supposed to do. You want to know all about this PC's present time and everything he's in contact with. Well, in the matter of fact, you could come back to the question I just asked you before if you were scotched to that degree. You could come back to the question I gave you about assumptions about your present time environment and that sort of thing. You could get a stable datum. You could get the PC to run without the assessment, don't you see? Look at all that gorgeous toad arm action that you missed out on, see? You might have missed out there 3 sessions of gorgeous toad arm action. Marvelous, you see? Thing would be flying all over the place. The guy destimulated all over the place. The guy practically clear and flying, see? It's just being the difference of emphasis of the assessment. So the understanding of the assessment and understanding that an assessment in R3SC is to produce tonarm action, not data. We don't care anything about the data it produces, but the tonarm action. Now, that assessment's supposed to produce some tonarm action, and you'll see that it's an R3SC becomes a peculiar brand of assessment. And the individual in Scientology 3 who's been carefully educated in doing an R3SC assessment, keeping the its line in, keeping the tone arm running like mad, moves into Scientology 4 and does an assessment for a GPM goals list. With the its line in wide open. Well, that's one case we wrote off, see? R3M, see, is done pocketa, 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 see? No, it's the line data, 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 data. All of a sudden, the PC cognites on something. You say, oh, that's fine. He tells you something about it and so forth. See? All right, good. Data, 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 data. See, item, item, item. List, list, list. There's your item. Bang. A schnook. Got it. That's your item. Well, now I'll let your its line go in a little bit. And this line, I really had to go, oh, yeah, a schnook would really... Really more snack down, man. That's it. Fine. All right. Good. All right. Here's the next list. Who or what would a schnook oppose? Rapidly. Come on. Give me the data. Come on. So on. Schnook oppose. All right. Good. Got it. Yeah. Your neck. Come on. What would it oppose? Well, all right. You can cognite. Give you 30 seconds, clock now. Give you the idea. That's 3M2. I mean, you could go dragging your heels doing one of those assessments, and you wind up 5 intensives later with 2 RIs found, see? PC in total restimulation. Everything gone to pieces.
You wonder what's wrong. You get the difference? This lifetime, present time, it's the line in. Assessment, well, I don't know.
I think we're going to have to get rid of Bill as an auditor because he had one of these present time assessments and it only lasted him 2 intensives. He found out all about the guy by the middle of the 2nd intensive. Nothing else to do on the PC. Finished. Wrecked the case. PC not clear yet, and he's got the intensive filled. Now, what are we going to do? There's a different end goal in progress here, isn't there? Entirely different atmosphere involved in these assessments. So you must keep in mind that there are 2 different moods of assessing. And if you don't keep that severely in mind, you're going to make an awful flub because it's another auditing style. R3SE, leisurely, quiet, calm, drag it out endlessly. It's a line in, because it's all guided, you see, by present time and lifetime, that sort of thing. R3M2, pocket it, gimme, what is it, let's make it speed, man. All right. Well, we've only found 4 RIs in this thing. We're going to have to speed it up in the next session. Assessment, do a goal pose list. We did a goal pose list and so forth. All right, it's taken us 2.5 hours to find this next goal. What's the matter with you? It took you 2.5 hours to find the PC's next goal. What's the matter with you? I've been doing Scientology 3 all the time. Oh, I thought I had until the next intensive. Well, man, you're doing another type of process here entirely. So on. Let's get that goal opposed list listed and nulled and that sort of thing. 2 hours. That's all you got. That's it. That's it. No more than that. You understand? Why? Because backtrack, you got to keep the itza line shut. Got it? Otherwise, you re-stimulate the PC, your tone arm action disappears. All right, I kept you a little bit over time. Start your sessions 15 minutes late tonight. Okay, thank you.